If we just start by looking together at Psalm 103. The wonderful psalm of David, in a sense, is counting his blessings. I just want to read a few of these verses. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from this dark destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. As we enter the end of another year, we should be eternally thankful to our God for all his past blessings. And like the psalmist, we should know them, although they are without number. You can, if you like, take a piece of paper over the next few days and write down all the blessings that God has given you and all the things he has given you. Every breath, you realise you cannot sit there breathing today if God didn't give you that breath. And he's given your body and your faculties. He's given you food and drink. Are you thankful to this God? Are you thankful? Our bodies and our lives are borrowed from God. They're not our own. All the times he's delivered us from many an evil that you probably don't even know about, God has delivered you from. The places of blessings that he's led us to. The fellowship of believers. The good books that we've been able to read. And the grace he's given us for each day. And enabled us to serve him in his work. We can't even breathe without God. The warmth of the sun and the coolness of the night. Our home to live in and to be looked after. Even the trials that can be hard at times. And maybe it's hard to praise God in those moments. Yet the psalmist said in here, if you weigh the blessings against the so-called minuses, the blessings far outweigh the minuses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, says, and forget not all his benefits. We are so apt to forget the benefits that God gives us, and they outweigh any, indeed, minuses. He names one in verse 3, who forgiveth all our iniquities. What a wonderful thing it is to have all our sins forgiven. And he doesn't say some or most, it says all thy iniquities, all thy past sins, blotted out if you believe in Jesus. What a wonderful gospel we have. And it's with this in mind, and the hymn that we just sang in mind, the Lord creating in us a new nature, we turn to our main text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there with me, please, to 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and chapter 5. And verse 17. And I want us to be honest with ourselves this afternoon, and ask this question. Verse 17, chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And these blessings that we're talking about, David, they're mainly for the people of God. True, God does give blessings to non-believers, but these wonderful blessings of forgiveness of sins and restoration of our soul if we fall away, these are blessings for God's people. We are the object of God's abundant blessings if we're Christians. And every trial and trouble and problem and darkness that comes into our life, he works it out for good. He says so. All things work together for good to those that love God. And these are the people that these blessings are talking about. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see, in Christ. Are we in Christ? The word means here that we're in a new position. We're in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be in Christ. It says we sit with him in heavenly places. In a sense, we do. Because he's overcome sin, death and the devil, and he's now at the right hand of God, praying for us. So So we are in Christ, and in Christ we are justified and sanctified if we are in Him. And a new creature here literally means a new person, being born again. A new creation, born of God. Remember Jesus said, you must be born again? It's interesting, the verse just before that. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We're not living after the flesh anymore, and the sins, and the pleasures of sin. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we no more. Paul is living a spiritual life. He's pointing us to a new spiritual life in Christ. We don't physically see Christ anymore. It's the spiritual, by faith we see Him and trust Him. So as we look back over the old year, and we look into a new year, can we say this is true of us? Old things are passed away. Just like the old year is going to pass away. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Tell me, are you or I new creatures in Christ? Does this describe you? This is a description of a Christian. This is not a description that many church leaders would give you, maybe. But this is the biblical view of what a Christian is. On the 1st of January 2017, we will not say, when we write down the date, 2016. It is passed away. And so if you are a new creature in Christ today, you cannot live one day in your old life. You cannot live one moment like you used to, because you are new in Christ. The Holy Spirit has come into you and changed you. We just sung about a new nature. We're not living now after the old. There's a new principle now. We're not loving the things that we used to love, those sinful things. We're hating them, and those things we used to hate. We used to hate God. We used to hate sitting for a service. It was boring. It was dull. And we couldn't get out quick enough. But when the power of God comes on you and the Holy Spirit gives you a new heart and a new meaning, you have a love for the things of God. You love to be with God's people. Where do the football supporters go? The young supporters. They go to be with the crowd in their stadium. They support their team with their people. If we're true Christians, we want to be in God's team, with God's people, praising God. As Jonathan said on Christmas Day, you hear them shouting out the people that they look up to. Could be Messi, chanting his name. We should be chanting Jesus, Saviour of the world. We should be singing from our hearts, not whispering. Oh, praise God. We have a wonderful gospel. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Let's ask ourselves, have we really died to the old nature? Wonderful verse in Romans 6:6, knowing this. Do you know this? That the old man, the old self, was crucified with Christ, dead, that we should henceforth not serve sin. What are we dead to today? You say, I've been baptized. What are we dead to? Are we dead to envy? Are we dead to gossip? Are we dead to lust? Are we dead to the love of money? We are dead to the pleasures of sin? Come on, what are we dead to? We've been born again. We're new people. Have we really passed from death to life? Have old things really passed away? There's a radical change in our life. Everything that you know in your life is wrong and bad. Have you put it aside for God and now serve Him by His strength and grace? This can only be done by the grace and power of God. We cannot do it ourselves. And we're not perfect after we're saved. But the difference now is if we sin, we hate it, we grieve, and we mourn over it. And we repent, and it doesn't have dominion over us anymore. It hasn't got that power. We have a new principle of holiness we're following. And we fight for sin. And if we lose, we go to God and get forgiveness through Christ's blood. We need to repent and believe this gospel, dear people. We need this experience in our life of being born again in the power of God and becoming new creatures. And what are the signs of this? If we're born in the Spirit, when we love prayer, it won't be something forced upon us. It won't be something that some religious people have to do. It'll be a joy to pray to God and read His word and come to church. My friends, if you're not in this boat, you're in the other boat, going to hell. It's a wonderful thing to know you created God. What could be more exciting? Oh, the devil will say, oh, there's no blessings there. God just wants to take things from you. That's Satan's lies, as he lied in the garden. Do you want this new life in Christ? Don't you want your old life dead on the cross, crucified, and alive unto God for the resurrection of power of Jesus? And his Spirit to come into our hearts and strengthen us and give us a fresh start? Everything you've done wrong in this year, if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven for if you're repenting. Everything you've ever done wrong in your life, you've been forgiven for if you're a Christian. Because you're looking to Jesus, who's blotted out your transgressions. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. It's a fresh start. Now you might say, this is what a church person would say, not a Christian. Oh, that's great, I can go and live as I like now. Jesus has died for my sins. You're not a Christian if you say that. You now hate it, and you love Jesus. He's died on the cross for you. He's given all for you. He's gone to hell and come back for you. He left glorious when he didn't have to come and be born in the stable and live in this terrible world and fight sin. He fought sin for us. He was perfect for us, and he died for us because he knew we couldn't do it. The same yesterday, today, and forever. A fresh start. Wouldn't you want that? A fresh start. All your sins forgiven, blotted out, a new heart, a new life. You're now under the dominion of grace. Not law. You know, I want to tell you, if you put it on, all you hear is bad news, normally. If there's evidence that man has fouled because man thinks he's self-sufficient, if there's evidence that man has fouled, just put the news on for 5 minutes or read it, and you'll see failure after failure, war and rumours of wars, terrorism, mummies, killings. That's where man has brought us. But the gospel brings us new life. It brings us forgiveness. It means, and we know these people ourselves, no doubt, and there's people in the Bible who are in sin, yet they're Chinese. Drug addicts, Chinese. Drunkards, Chinese. People who live for sin, now loving God. This is better for the world, this is better for the country. But of course our politicians don't see it. They're riding on a Christian now. They're making out of something bad. When all we're bringing to the country, if you're truly converted, is something good. What's wrong with having your children brought up in the Lord, and then being converted, and living for God, and getting a decent job? The salt of the earth. To say Christianity, to put it in the same bracket as they're trying to do with extremists, is wrong. Christianity is a good thing. It creates in us a new heart. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And then Paul says those wonderful words, now if you're a believer today and you're thinking of the past year, in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12, he says this, not as though I had already attained, evil already was perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do. Let's do this now, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means that we leave behind the sins of the past year. They're only going to hinder us. We grieve, we repent of them, now go forward. We leave behind the achievements of the past year. Those things we might feel good about. Oh, the Lord did this, the Lord did that. No, says Paul, I'm forgetting that. I'm striving forward now for the mark, for the goal. To serve God, to be like Christ. I'm forgetting the past, it's forgiven. There's no other religion, no other philosophy that can give you this. A new heart, a new way to forgiveness. There's no forgiveness in the other religions. There's no forgiveness in Buddhism. I remember talking to a lady in a cab, and she was a Buddhist. And when I got to sin, well, there was no atonement in Buddhism. There's no atonement in the other religions. And when I told her about the cross, it was all like strange and new to her. Jesus and Christianity is the only religion that can forgive your sins and give you a new heart. And we should jump on the chance, should take with both hands by faith. New year, new you in Jesus. The power of God upon you. That's what these verses mean. Have you applied them? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. You just need to repent and believe this message today. Harden not your heart, says in Hebrews. If you hear that voice today, that inner voice, harden not your heart. Just now is the day of salvation, it says in Hebrews. Now is the accepted time. Now, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Conform to it. If the Lord is speaking you to you today, conform to the word. Turn from your sins to God's way. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the Spirit of God to come in and make you a new creature. We need to repent, dear people. We need to go into a new year with new hope. Not waltzing and walking blindly on our way to hell. The wrath of God is chasing you today. If you're running away from this gospel, then it will chase you all the way to hell. It's like an unexploding bomb on your head. It says in Ephesians, the wrath of God abides on us. This is true. Some of our friends in the denominations will not mention this truth. But it's what Christianity is at the heart of Christianity. He says in the very next verse in Corinthians, verse 8, and all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. A ministry of reconciliation. So you need to know first of all that God's wrath is upon your head because of your sins. And it's ready to explode. Bang! The wrath of God abides on the children of disobedience. And that's you and me, if we're not saved. Many have been saved by the grace of God. Many have been changed. Put on, said Paul, the new man, the righteousness of Christ. Take off the old with the lust of the flesh and the things thereof, and put on Jesus. Believer, if there's anything hindering you these coming days from following Jesus, any weight, it says, put it off. Put it off and run the race. Realise that the old man was crucified on the cross, and look forward to God in Jesus and his power. Living in the peace, enjoying the power of Jesus. Don't you want that, dear friends? Don't you want a new year, a new you, a fresh start in Jesus? Isn't it absolutely folly to turn away from it? What could be better? What could be worse than starting your new year on the way to hell? We had a very good headmaster at my school, and he used to not lose his temper, but he would have righteous anger. So all the kids obeyed him, which is unlike children nowadays. And some of the children were a bit nasty, and they gave him a nickname. It wasn't very nice. He was called Bombhead, because when he got angry, his unrighteous anger, it was like a bomb going off. And I knew it in the very first year I was at that school, and I was marched down with a group of others to see him. And I remember he went off, and he frightened the life out of me. And he got a cane. He used to have a cane in them days. He opened the cupboard and got this cane out. I was about 11 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And the cane was bent and well worn, as if it had been used. And he was waving it about, and I thought he was going to use it on me. But he didn't. But it made me think. And I never ever went back to that headmaster again. Never went back. The wrath of God abides on the children of disobedience. I'm not saying this to frighten you today in a wrong way, but to make you think. So we've got a loving God who gave his son to die for our sins, and if we relegate that, if we refuse that, if we don't want to know our God, then it's our own fault. Only God can save us, and we need to cry out for help. The only thing stopping us at this moment going to hell is our life. And our life is like a spider's web. It's thin, and it can snap. Any time, and we go down, down, down into everlasting fire of hell forever. I'm saying this in love, dear people. I've got to answer to God for this message today, not to any person. But we wouldn't be so foolish as that this day, would we? To reject such a great salvation. It would be a disaster. And lastly, Jesus gave some parables about old and new. Remember, he said the old. You can't sew new cloth onto an old garment to try and mend it. It just doesn't work. You can't put new, if there's an old wine skin holding a wine, you can't sew new into it. It just bursts. And same this day, my friends, you can't live in the world and live for Christ. You can't say you're a Christian and have one part of your heart for the world and the love of the world and the things of this world. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing with Jesus. He said, behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. You can't have a bit of the old and a bit of the new. When we get into 2017, people once say it's a bit of 2016 and a bit of 2017. It's a new year. Baptism symbolises this, that we go into the water and we die for the old self and we come out new in Jesus with a new nature. The old man is crucified, said in Romans. The old is passed away. We should be rejoicing people if we're Christians today that we've got a new nature. Some of dear people, it's a happy new year to you. A happy new year in Jesus. Does that sound good? Oh, you say, I want this new life. I want a fresh start. I want to leave sin. Then do it, son. Do it this day to the praise of God and His glory. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that we'll not forget these words today, that your Spirit will strive with us and help us to rest in you. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And if we're a believer in this day, you won't change in the coming year. As you kept us in the past, you'll keep us in the new. You change if not. Your compassionate thousand, new every morning, is thy love, our waking and our rising proof. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See us. 519. It's a lovely hymn, a lovely words. And it says that through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well. You see, it's through the love of God, all will be well. And it's not talking here just about outward circumstances, it means inward. All is well with our soul. Things might go wrong outside, but all is well with our soul.